Every year, there's an event so large and influential, it almost stops the global cybersecurity industry in its tracks. Comments like, "We'll start that project after the RSA conference," become commonplace in businesses everywhere because, even for those not lucky enough to attend in person, everyone in the cybersecurity world gets pulled into its orbit somehow. Such is its reach and, frankly, its value. It's a conference that delivers industry leaders, leading-edge presentations, and inspirational guests spreading across San Francisco's Moscone Center and now into the adjoining Yerba Buena Center for the Arts. It takes a huge team of dedicated professionals more than a year to pull each one of these annual events together, and today it is my pleasure to be speaking with the person who leads them. I'm Steve Prentice, and this is the Talis Security Sessions podcast. It is truly an honor to be joined today by Linda Gray Martin, Chief of Staff RSAC and Senior Vice President of the RSA Conference. Nothing more needs to be said to describe the conference as its reputation easily precedes it. So, Linda, thank you for joining me here today.
Thank you so much. I appreciate you having me today.
To start out, how many years has the RSA Conference been going on?
So this is our 34th year, would you believe?
You've obviously seen a lot of change and growth over this period. What have you observed as any sort of major changes over these past 3.5 decades?
We started back in 1991, and I'd like to point out I was not involved at that point, otherwise I'd be aging myself. But it was a small gathering for just 50 cryptographers. It was very cryptographic in nature. It had just one panel, which was on DES and DSS standards. So I think the major change is that since then, it's just grown steadily and has become much broader in nature. We're now really at the intersection of business policy and technology is how we see it. I joined the company in 2006, and the US conference had just over 14,000 attendees. This year, we had 43,500 attendees. So we've seen dramatic growth over the last 19 years. And I think it's just because cybersecurity affects all of us. It's visible, but it affects us professionally, it affects us personally, and it matters. We need to get ahead of it. And so I think those are the major changes.
Has it always been in the same city or has it moved around?
It has been predominantly in San Francisco. I think there were a couple of years in the early days that were in other areas, kind of in Silicon Valley. So San Jose and Redwood Valley, I think. But yeah, it's been predominantly in San Francisco.
Well, congratulations on the successful completion of another one, the 2025 edition. So now that it is done and everyone on the team can relax for a short time anyway, what were the standout presentations or guests or topics for this year?
This is a hard question because we are so lucky that we have such an incredibly high caliber of speakers from across the industry. Looking at content specifically, and then I'll dive into some of the presenters that we had, but AI was, of course, very dominant. For example, things like governance and ethics, the need for agents around machine learning models, all things authentication and access control and the EU's AI Act, everything AI. But the one thing that really struck me this year, and you asked me this at the beginning, you know, what was different this year or what stood out to me? And I think, A, it was our biggest conference. So there was energy, there was buzz, and you really felt it. But there was like a real sense of community like I've never quite experienced before. It was palpable this year. And I think our content reflected that as well. Apart from our professional lives and our cybersecurity professionals, you have to protect everyone from your business, but your children through to seniors. And if we have to collaborate to build a safer, more secure world, which incidentally is the mission of RSAC. But, you know, I do think RSAC conference plays a real role in uniting and empowering the cybersecurity community. And we really, really felt it this year. And I've seen a few people have said the same thing in, you know, various articles that I've read on LinkedIn and people that I've spoken to. That spirit of community was very, very present. And we did see that in our content. But going back to specifics, like I said, it's really hard to just focus on a few. For context, we do an open call for speakers every year. This year, we received around 2,800 submissions for 350 track sessions. So the competition is really fierce. We had 738 speakers in total. Our sessions are chosen by our program committee, which is an independent panel of industry experts. So I'm going to play it safe and talk about some of the keynotes that we had. We had 37 keynote presentations on two stages. We have the West stage, which features sponsor keynotes, panels, guest speakers. And then we have another stage in our new campus addition this year, the Yerba Buena Center for the Arts, which is directly adjacent to the Moscone Center, for those of you that know that area. On that stage, we predominantly have leading industry experts. So I'll just run through a couple of names for you. So on the West stage, Hugh Thompson, our executive chairman, the executive chairman of RSAC, kicked things off for us. We also have speakers from our leading sponsors who are also industry visionaries. So we'll talk about some of them. But some of the industry experts we welcomed over on the Yerba Buena Center for the Arts stage, as well as the West stage. So George Kurtz, the CEO and founder of CrowdStrike, Sandra Joyce, the VP of Google Threat Intelligence, Google Cloud, Vivian Schiller, who is the vice president and executive director at the Aspen Institute. And then, you know, we also have our ever faithful cryptographers panel. People still love going to this. That's now led by Tal Rabin, who is a senior principal applied scientist and professor at UPenn. She is also at AWS. But we still have Whit Diffie attending and participating. We still have Adi Shamir. So some of those people that have been in the industry since the beginning and who we owe a lot to. So we have that every year still, and they still come, which is amazing. So then just a couple of other names for you. We actually had a session by Jade Lung, the CTO of the UK AI Security Institute, along with speakers from NVIDIA and Google, who were talking about AI safety and where we go from here. We had the special assistant to the president of the United States, Alexei Boulazel, who was giving us a view from the White House with regards to cyber and cyber policy. And then we had a really interesting keynote on our West stage that was moderated by Vivian Schiller and featured Craig Newmark, who's Craigslist founder, just talking about how to make people care about cybersecurity. You know, what are some of those public messages that we can give out that will galvanize people into action? And that actually featured the co-creator and executive producer of the show Zero Day. I'm not sure if you've seen it. I think it's on Netflix, as well as Kirsten Todd, who's the president of Wondra. So we have some amazing, amazing speakers. I would be remiss if I didn't talk about some of the guest speakers that we had this year on the West stage. So we had two-time NBA Hall of Famer, entrepreneur and philanthropist Magic Johnson. And honestly, the energy that man has, he was literally walking through the audience. It was incredible. He has like some really interesting, strong messages. He's a great character. He's very warm, but he didn't want to be on the stage. He wanted to be walking amongst the people, which was amazing. We also had movie director and Academy Award-winning filmmaker Ron Howard, who was interviewed by his daughter, Bryce Dallas Howard. This was jam-packed. And like Ron Howard has made so many amazing films that you forget how many he's made, but things that, you know, from A Beautiful Mind to one of the latest Star Wars movies, and that's just like a tiny tip of the iceberg. It was such a fascinating session because he is such a storyteller. And him being interviewed by his daughter, it was so nice to watch the dynamic between them. So that was a great session. And then our closing celebration this year featured a conversation with Jamie Foxx and Hugh Thompson, which was absolutely epic. Another guy with a ton of energy. We started that off with a kind of musical set with his friend DJ Irie, who is a DJ out in Miami. But because of the connection they have, they were obviously both very comfortable with each other. And Jamie Foxx was walking around the crowd as well, kind of like Magic Johnson did, and whipping people up into a frenzy. But he's got a really, really interesting personal story, and he's been through some stuff. So again, I think it just ended the conference on a really high note.
I do remember attending a tech sector conference at the Moscone Center, and it is truly fascinating simply to watch the sheer number of people moving toward the conference, especially as the day begins. But do you get to see any of this? As the person in charge of the entire event, where are you when all this is going on?
That's a great question, because I tend to go through the week in a little bit of a fog, you know, because there's a lot of troubleshooting, and you know, because there's so much that goes on and you're kind of rushing from place to place to place. I spend a lot of my time in the West Stage keynote room. I'm really, really involved in that program from start to finish. We gave out a couple of lifetime achievement awards this year as well, working with the teams for that. One of them was to Bert Kaliski, who used to work at RSA Labs and is now the CTO over at VeriSign. And he's been in the industry for a long, long time. And then we also gave a lifetime achievement award posthumously to Amit Yoran, who we sadly lost in January this year. He used to be the president of RSA and was latterly the CEO and president of Tenable. So that was a big loss for the industry, you know, but there are so many elements to the keynote program that that's where I tend to spend a lot of my time. But I'm also running around meeting various people, various partners, just out talking to the crowds. I opened the Netherlands Pavilion this year, which is something I do every year. And it's just they're such a great group of people. So I have various responsibilities during the week.
Anyone who has attended an RSA conference can't help but get the sensation that there's a lot of people involved in putting this on. Yeah. So what's the size of your army? How many people overall?
Yeah, so let me tell you, and an army is a good way to describe it. I said it's not just a village, but it's a small city, and it's really true. So our internal team who works on the conference is about 20 people. Our event management partner, Nth Degree, they have a core team that goes anywhere from 50 to 90 people, dependent on where we are in the cycle. But then when you get on site, that's obviously where you're seeing the team at its maximum. Probably have around 450 people who are looking after everything from registration to all the logistics and the food and beverage, the production crew, the security, you know, like the weapons detection that we have. There is so much that goes into it. But yeah, there's probably about 450 people.
And just one last question on the logistics of all of this. Is the preparation for this event a 12-month thing? Does it take you a year to put it together? Do you start on a particular date? What's the timeline?
So it actually takes 15 months in total.
15 months? Wow.
Is when we open up sponsorship sales for the following year. So if that makes sense. So the conference was end of April this year. We opened up sponsorship sales for RSAC 2026 back in early March. So kind of like January, February is when things kick off. So yeah, it's a long time. And just to give you a little bit of information about how the sausage is ground. So, you know, we send out many, many different surveys, whether from attendees to exhibitors to content to sessions to keynotes to programs. We take our feedback very, very seriously. Each summer we have a boot camp for the team where we have about 50 people attend. We come together, and it's not to look back or to dissect. It's really just to throw everything up in the air and just try and look at things through fresh eyes just to see how and where we can get better. So the ideas generated at boot camp then get taken through the event cycle. And honestly, some will lose along the way, some will stick, but that is where the planning really begins in earnest. And it's interesting, the team in general have worked on the conference for years. We've got a very committed, passionate team. And I think the reason why is that people think that they can make a difference in the world with what we do. There's a mission. It's very mission driven. The industry is at large, I think. Our team definitely is. And I think that inspires the team to keep wanting to do better and better for the industry.
That's a very salient point in the sense that there's more than obviously just simply showing off companies and brands, but to have a mission for human betterness. But everyone's going to want to know, how did you get to this point? It's not just the story of the RSA conference that's inspiring, but your story too.
Oh, well, thank you. I appreciate that. I've actually worked with RSAC for 19 years. The company RSAC Conference was owned by RSA, and I worked in Bracknell until 2012. So over my tenure, I've led the conference in Europe. We've been in China, Singapore, Abu Dhabi. In fact, I didn't move over to the States until 2013. And then I took over the reins of the US conference in 2019 when my predecessor moved on. So I do have a wealth of experience working in the industry and globally, which I think is really, really important. I still have very strong ties to the UK and the rest of Europe. So it's always a pleasure to come back and see some of the contacts that I've got over there. But I have really, really built strong relationships in San Francisco as well, which I think is really important to the success of the conference and with the events industry as well, particularly across the US. So, you know, I think one thing that really helps me in my role as chief of staff of the company is that I've really witnessed the building of the very strong culture that we have at RSAC. People are truly everything. It sounds a bit corny, but it's not. You know, people really are everything. We have a truly amazing team, people who care about their work. They're mission driven. Like I mentioned before, we really care about each other. And I think all of this, you know, being part of that, all of this has positioned me really well for this new hat that I'm wearing, the chief of staff role. So I work really closely with our executive chairman, Hugh Thompson, and he's a wonderful guy and is so committed to the cybersecurity industry. So it's a real pleasure to work with him. Obviously, I work very closely with the executive team of the company, but as we grow, we just want to ensure that we retain that culture and that sense of mission and that sense of purpose. So that's a real critical part of my role.
When people think of the RSA conference, it's obviously seen as a physical event, a place that people travel to and spend some time attending the sessions and meeting their professional colleagues. In these years since the lockdowns of peak COVID-19, did this turn your attention to going more virtual? Or did the desire to meet in person never actually leave? Did you do any sort of virtual or immersive presence as well?
Yeah, absolutely. So, I mean, goodness me, it's hard to believe that the pandemic and COVID was kind of 5 years ago. And looking back now, obviously, it was an incredibly difficult time for everybody. For the events industry in particular, it was really tough. Many people lost their jobs. Many people were furloughed. But you know what? I'm sure everybody says this. It was such an incredibly innovative and creative time as well. And as we all know, virtual events exploded. New technologies were coming out literally. It felt like week after week after week. And people found ways to come together in different ways. So we even ran RSAC 2021 as a virtual event, which was definitely an interesting experience. So I think definitely some good came out of that period. But I think the one thing that really sticks out is that we all realized and continue to appreciate today the value of face-to-face events. There's nothing like it. And since 2022, which was our first post-pandemic conference, just the joy people have in coming together, it's amazing. And I don't think that will ever go away. I think people are much more willing these days just to jump on video chats. And I think that will never change. And I love that. My team, I drive them crazy because I always make them come on video when we're having big meetings because I want to see people's faces. I think we've all become much more accepting of each other's lives as well. And I think that's a really positive thing. So I do think there's definitely a role for physical. There's a role for virtual. And we've spent, as a company, we've spent a lot of time wondering about how we can better serve the community outside of the conference for the other 51 weeks a year. So there's a definite need for year-round learning. Collaboration, connection, clearly are very important within the industry. And in early April, we actually launched a new community platform that allows the industry, so cyber and tech professionals, to continuously learn, collaborate, and communicate, you know, to help them with professional development, as well as meeting the needs of the cybersecurity world, which, as we all know, changes rapidly. So the community platform provides access to content. We've got a dedicated cybersecurity AI co-pilot, which sounds very fancy. We have secure messaging and a way for people to connect. So this is all outside of the conference. We have discussion groups for them as well, so they can continue those kind of birds of a feather sessions that we offer at the conference and discuss trending and pressing topics in groups. And then we have what's going on in the world in the cybersecurity industry, so all the latest news. So our mission as a company is to unite and empower the world's cybersecurity community in order to create a safer society. And that is what we feel we're doing between the conference and our new platform.
I can only imagine that when you and your team work through the schedules and the themes of an event of this magnitude, it inspires new thoughts and new ideas for the next one. Yeah. So over the months of planning that went into the 2025 event, did anything strike you as what you would like to do next in terms of something to add to the conference next year? Any sort of inspiration as to, yes, we've got to do this soon?
You know, that we're still kind of working through that. Funny enough, today and tomorrow, we've got two kind of 3-hour each day strategy sessions with the senior team of the conference just to talk about gut instincts, what worked, what didn't, how can we start planning for our boot camp, which I talked about, which is in about 6 weeks' time. There's a few ideas bubbling, but I think we need to spend some time going through all the different feedback mechanisms that we got. Like I said, we take our feedback very, very seriously. So I think watch this space is probably all I'm willing to commit to at this point.
I know, Linda, that you and our Talis Security Sessions podcast producer, Liz Kelly, go way back, and she would like to ask you a question as well.
I would love to know, Linda, and I don't know if you can say this diplomatically, but you've had some pretty cool people on the stage over the years. Who has been like a couple of your highlights?
That's a really difficult question. God, there have been so many. So I'm gonna answer outside of the cybersecurity industry, if that's okay, because I think guest speakers are really important because they offer a different perspective, a different way of looking at things. So I would say Alicia Keys was amazing last year. Like to see someone like her in a 4,000 person room was pretty amazing. So we started with this kind of closing celebration rather than a closing keynote, because everybody, by the end of the week, it's a long, draining, in a very good way, exhausting week. And we just wanted to give back to the community, give a moment of relaxation, just kick back, enjoy. And so to have Alicia Keys play for everybody, it was such a special moment for everybody. And I think we created memories that will kind of last a lifetime. But you know, another great speaker that we had, completely different, another closing session, was Stephen Colbert, who I'm not sure if you know, but runs some of the late night talk show. He's so sharp-witted and so funny and had really done his research. And it was just, I think the sessions that work really well for us are like the people who are intellectually smart and curious, and as well as being funny, and he just knocked it out of the park. So, you know, we've had some great ones, but the closing celebration we had last week was incredible, with Jamie Foxx wandering into the audience, making people chant, standing up on chairs, and then we had some great music to go along with it. So it was just, every year is different.
This has been a fascinating insight to go behind the scenes of this world-famous industry happening. I certainly look forward to next year's RSA conference, but for the meantime, please know, Linda, what a real pleasure this has been to walk the halls with you in this conversation. So I'm wishing you every success for all the events to come, and thank you again for joining us here today.
Thank you.
Remember, if you like what you hear, be sure to subscribe and tell a friend or a colleague or a client or all of them about the Talis Security Sessions podcast. We will be back again soon with another episode and another discussion on the topics that you need to know about to successfully carry on in the business of information security. Until then, I'm Steve Prentice with Liz Kelly. Thanks for listening.